and I would like to welcome every one of us here. I know very well that our schedules are too tight. We are from meetings, we are here now, and we'll be going to plenary. But I would like to appreciate your presence. But before we start with our meeting, I just want to comment about the issues that is happening in our country. Gender-based violence and femicide. I think as parliamentarians, we need to take a stand, or we need to rise up to this situation, because it's us, it's our children who are being killed, who are raped now and then. So I think it needs to start with us as parliamentarians to show up or to stand up and say something. And by this, honorable members, I mean that an action needs to be taken. This thing of sitting in our offices saying that we are planning, is not going to assist us. We need to go out there. If it needs us to go to a province, we need to do that. If it needs us to go to the police station or wherever we think by going there, by so doing, it is going to assist women, it's going to assist our girl child. I think we need to do that. We're having a debate, a very robust debate yesterday. We're having a women's parliament. I think all of the things that has been said, we need to look down and see as to how are we going to approach it. So by so saying, I would like to welcome everyone. We must feel free. We must deliberate on the issues, putting aside our differences if we do have any, putting aside our political affiliations, looking into the issue that affects women and children. Thank you very much. Oh, before we go further, we can observe a moment of silence, since today there is a memorial service of one of the girls that has been raped and killed. Tata wa hosi ya hina Yesu Kriste, ingaku mimoya hinkwavo lava nga hi sukela yi nga hi ya wisa hi kurhula. I thank you. Thank you very much. Our first item in our agenda, it was introduction and welcome. I don't know whether I need to introduce myself. Is there any need for us to introduce ourselves? We know each other. Let's proceed. The second one is the outcomes of the 29th of August 2019, where we're having a Women's Parliament. The overview by Ms. J. Watson, our senior researcher. Over to you, Joy.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to talk long because I'm focusing specifically on what came out of the Women's Parliament. So our Women's Parliament was very well attended, and we had the event scheduled within the theme of a 25-year review of the Women's Charter. And the sub-theme was gender and institutionalism towards strengthening the national gender machinery to respond to gender-based violence. So these were three issues that had to be dealt with in the space of one day. And really, you know, what it showed us was that there was a need to engage further in the content. So we brought up some people from the Interim Steering Committee on Gender-Based Violence, and just to give our members a background to where the Interim Steering Committee comes from, in last year the President organized a summit on gender-based violence and femicide, and out of that, and our caucus participated at this event. Out of that summit, there was a decision that we would write a national strategic plan on gender-based violence. And the idea was the way in which this was going to be different from plans that we had in the past was that it was going to be intersectoral, so cutting across government departments. But most importantly, it was the first time that one government department wasn't writing the plan. That the plan is a process of different government departments, but most importantly, together with people from the public writing it. So it's in some ways, you know, led and guided by people from civil society. So it's a very consultative process. They've just, in the process now of taking the draft plan to all the provinces to get inputs from the public. And the President has promised that this plan will be launched in October. So at our Women's Parliament, we were able to bring members from that Interim Steering Committee to Parliament to talk to us about the plan. And there wasn't enough time. The plan is actually quite a thick document. There wasn't enough time to go into all the details of the plan, but the one area that we tried to focus on at the Women's Parliament was the issue of money and the resourcing of the plan. Because if honourable members, you look at that draft plan and you look at the chapter on the budgeting and the resourcing of the plan, there's almost, I think, there's only one page on that. And the reason for this is that there is a crisis in terms of the economic context, and, you know, the money is allocated to service provision. And so there is, you know, there's a need to really look at this issue of how do we respond and give the plan the budget that it needs in the context of the fact that there is limited resources across government departments within the context of the fiscal outlook. So, you know, we engaged in a conversation about ideas for how to address this challenge, and particularly in relation to the fact that in the past we didn't, you know, there have been attempts to try and cost gender-based violence, but we don't have proper costing in place. So now there's a process to cost, it's underway, and once we have that costing, it's about how do we find the resources to adequately allocate to that plan. So, through the course of the Women's Parliament, there was some reflection on the role of the gender machinery, the national gender machinery. And just to remind honourable members that, you know, the previous Women's Caucus had actually said at one point that if we fix some of the problems that the national gender machinery faces, we will deal with so many other things, because that's at the heart of a lot of things that are going wrong. So our Women's Parliament made mention of the fact that there are some very serious challenges, that the national gender machinery is not functioning as it used to in the past, and in terms of the vision that had been created for it. So we're seeing a lack of coordination. You know, the structures haven't met as a joint structure. There's little coordination between the structures. There's a problem with overlapping mandates. The gender focal points are particularly in crisis in the departments, and many of the structures do not have adequate budgets to do what they need to do. So on page 3, I've got the two action areas that we were asked to look at, and the one was that Parliament should facilitate a review of the national gender machinery. Now, some work has been done on this. The Commission for Gender Equality at one point tried to start working on a review, and also the Department of Women, when it was still the Department of Women, had started working on a review. So really, our role would be to create a space for all the structures to come together, to get the CGE and the department to talk about the reviews that they had done, and to then develop a plan for addressing some of the challenges. And the second item that we were asked to take up was that we must start a conversation with the different structures of the national gender machinery about what that review would look like. Then the key issues that emerged into the relation of the resourcing of the National Strategic Plan. And just to say, honourable members, that you know, part of what we were doing was located within the review of the Women's Charter and our proposal that we would look at reviewing the Women's Charter and possibly rewriting it. And there was some sentiment expressed by some of the speakers and some people from the floor who felt that if we re-look at that Women's Charter, it's almost like re-looking at the Bill of Rights, that the Charter is in some issues not the problem. The problem is the violence, and that there was a plea for us to focus on the aspect of gender-based violence, that that should be our number one priority, and to look at this violence not only through the lens of how it affects women, but for our focus to include the LGBTI groups. So on page four, there was a list of areas where we should work, and the first was around legislation and policy, and really, you know, it came up again and again that we don't so much have a problem with our legislation and policy. We have the framework in place, that the role of Parliament now is to ensure that that legislation and policy is implemented, because the problem is more with the implementation. The one area where we do need legislation is going to be around femicide, because femicide in our law doesn't exist as a crime in its own right. And femicide is the killing of a woman by her intimate partner or husband. Then there was the issue of political accountability, and how this was raised was there was a need to have a structure that we hold accountable for delivering on gender-based violence, and the one option that was raised here was there a possibility in Parliament to have a specific committee that is mandated to deal with gender-based violence. So instead of now, as we have it, justice deals with the courts and the police deals with the policing issues and social development deals with the shelters and so on and health deals with the health aspects, but if we had one committee in Parliament that had ultimate responsibility for following up on all those things, it might be easier to get accountability. And then there was the point around our oversight, that where Parliament in the past has done oversight as committees, it has never been coordinated. So there's never been a parliamentary plan to say this in a five-year term is what we're going to do and how we're going to this is our strategy. And so there's a need for us to look at developing our plan over the 5 years of how we will respond. The issue, because the focus was largely on resourcing and budgets, this came up very strongly to say that, you know, we have asked, and in fact the previous Women's Caucus has also asked, that budgets are not ring-fenced for gender-based violence. It's very hard to go to a budget and find where that money is because it's subsumed within other line items. And what people reminded us is that it's our job to ensure that government reports in such a way so that it is ring-fenced, so that we can see it, and that in our oversight questions we need to be looking for how much money was spent and monitoring that and linking it to departmental planning. I think that, you know, the other thing that came out was that we need to assess the strengthening of services that government provides on gender-based violence. And in order to do this, we need to engage with both the costing of services, so we need to look at those costing exercises, and we need to then, in our oversight, make sure that we are monitoring what departments spend, both on services, but also in the area of prevention work. So, for example, if we look at the issue of shelters, we must make sure, and we know from the research that exists, that the shelter services, in terms of how they've been costed, are not subsidized enough by government. So it's about how do we find the resources to provide those services. In by saying, honourable members, I mean, we saw this morning, you know, we had the debate yesterday, we saw this morning the marches. There's another one planned to Parliament tomorrow that is supposed to be a very big one. I think that, you know, while these things have been happening for a long time now, people are very angry. They're very, very angry, and so now is the time where we need to look at how we consolidate our plan and seem to be responding, because it's become very emotional, I think, especially in light of the young people who have died in the last week. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Joy. Before I give you some time, Honourable Semenya, I think I need to comment on the issue of Women's Parliament. To me, Women's Parliament that we held, it was good, but the planning, it wasn't that much good, because it's like we're supposed to hold that Women's Parliament maybe for 2 days, not one. We delayed, instead of starting in at 8:30, we delayed until 10 or 11, and we end up very late. When we round up with our meeting, a lot of people from the provinces were no longer in the house. So to me, the value or the impact is for women to attend until the end of the program. Because at the end, that's where we are going to wrap up in order to understand exactly what was happening throughout the day or throughout the program. I'm saying this because I want us to interact. Maybe it will assist us next time to say, when we're going to have women's parliament, maybe we can urge the chief whip or the deputy chairperson of NCOP that we need to plan for 2 days, not one. And again, the issue of other members not in parliament, we find that some of the members were out for oversight. To me, it doesn't look nice, because we are all affected as women in this parliament, and it's for us all to attend in order to come up with a decision that will bind all of us. Thanks. Honorable Semenya.
Again, you can have I agree that at some point we shouldn't be a one-day parliament, but if it's not one-day, like previously, you have the national parliament instead of the provincial women's parliament. Means that women's parliament will have their own parliament in the province. When they come here, now they are speaking on the mandate of women. They are not speaking on themselves, because people that we get them, how whom do they represent? That's a very important question to attend. I think that's a very big, and we should actually have a plan. I know that it's a calendar event that we must know all of us as women. But how then do we get everybody who are being drawn in, or women who are being drawn in to come and care? The other thing is that you are the very important thing when we now you're going to open and even the previous meetings that they have attended. Of not politicizing the structure. And not politicizing the structure would mean even the activities. Why do we want only threats? I'll give an example, a new thing, that women themselves have not decided who must speak on our behalf. It's part of the process of uniting women. Mm-hmm. You then have a woman sitting and say, we have a women's parliament, therefore, who would want Patricia and Mr. to speak on our behalf? And these are the issues that need to be raised on our behalf. That's the only way to get the unity of women working in the working environment. The second issue, women's parliament talking about the abuse outside is fine. But when are we confronting the abuse that exists within parliament itself? In various ways. In various ways. If you don't deal with the abuse must be within the parliament, what is happening here in parliament? For the fact that the women must have every seat, it must actually get a corner online to see. That's abuse. Things that we must not see, now we must talk. And we've been raising this thing for continuous. I abuse that is existing in parliament is huge. And we must, as we talk about the protest and again, and unless we get the women to interact themselves and become one, if you will never stop this, what is happening outside? Because that way we might be sitting here and claiming to be not knowing what is happening in Johannesburg. We might be creators of the situation, the way we communicate, the way we interact with people. But if women unite and in parliament and are given opportunity to talk about this issue, well, we don't have time to talk about our problems and our frustration. Even if I'm abused at home, where should I go in this parliament? So now I'm going to come and smile and talk about people who have been abused somewhere. I was beaten up yesterday. You know, but I must put a smile and come and try to work. Because women themselves, and it's one of the things that was raised by in one meeting that I've attended, that women must actually, if you look at how women themselves in parliament are being treated and are being capacitated to be able to deal with the work as we went together. I think there was when we were at home, Chair, there was a circulation of one paper that Parliament was invisible for them to have a crash in Parliament. Mm-hmm. But whoever circulated the paper, why did he bring it here to my heart? Because women get that in this house. Those that are bearers of children, who knows what they want for their children. But it goes to individuals, whoever, if I didn't, I was not God, no one, the image of Parliament is men. I browse and look at those that affect me. But I look at others when I get bored. So if I didn't bored that day, I wouldn't have seen that. So the other issue is, let's begin with the little abuse. Let's bring in abuse that is happening here. But again, I want to agree with you that there is a need for programs to engage other women sectors, including our legislators and people. Because one of the roles of multi-party is to capacitate the provincial caucuses and the local municipal caucuses. And if those two caucuses are working and they involve women and the men, you would not have the gap in the community. But the problem is that the only group are not, the, they are not, in majority of the cases, they are not the working. And it's not by accident. This is one of the things if we see women sleeping and things will happen on their own. Everything you must understand to be a struggle, because whatever you're struggling for, you have an opponent. You know, opponent this time is your husband, your partner, your leader, a person who's around you, which when I might not see as your opponent. So what is this caucus, Indian caucus? You know, and allowing even utterances that they do in the corridors, but just no talk nonsense about, you know, I am a fan of whatever, I don't care. And we say, even our telephone, we're in our meeting, they're hiding, not a consumer, that's our role. Who must refuse and go after those things and I'm saying, yeah. This women parliament can do a lot of things to tax prostitutes on women. But the claiming part of it is the problem. If we change it, and it should be, provinces must know in time and municipalities should start as municipalities. And what we discuss here in national parliament, it should be something that has been discussed with women that cannot afford to come to parliament. But if we continue to bring one people to work, but someone over there, they can speak a good English and then take a microphone, now they are the leader, they must shut out everything. Yes, I'm representing those voters, those that are in the villages. I'm not just representing people about this. We want to use our struggle for emancipation of women for their own benefit. I'm not representing those
people. Thank you very much, Honorable Zwinya. Before I hand over to you, Deputy Chairperson, Honorable Smia raised critical issues. Really, we need to change some of the things that are happening in this parliament. If really we mean that we are women and we are representing the voiceless out there, it needs to start with us. A lot of things are not going in the right way. All the treatment in this parliament, really some is uncalled for. My observation from the fifth parliament and the sixth parliament, they are too different. I think when you come in, the Deputy Chairperson, you must also touch the issues of women around parliament. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think so much has been said, but what I can say, Chairperson, as women and as we are parliamentarians, now our integrity is questionable, because people now, they are looking at us to say, what is it that you are doing?
I'm sorry, I'm having flu. I think really, as we are privileged, because we are really privileged to be members of parliament, we need to remember where we come from. We are not here at our own jacket. We represent women who are voiceless, like my colleague has just said. So we need to change things the way we run this women parliament. Chair, and what is also important, I'm happy with the things that have been identified during women's parliament. But something that is missing here, under the action areas to focus on in relation to the strengthening the resources on gender-based violence, something that must also, and it's unfortunate, but somewhere, somehow, we need to talk about it, is a capacity. Many of our women, they find themselves being the victim of gender-based violence because they don't have skills. They are not capacitated. I just come from the Portfolio Committee now of Public Works and Ministry and Fishery. We're talking about women that are involved in the small harbor. Just imagine, only one woman was capacitated with just a mere skill. How many women are in South Africa in terms of statistics? I think this committee, we need to do monitoring of other portfolios, make sure that we have to find out from each department how women are capacitated. That should be, and we need to have a track record system. What I find in Parliament, every 5 years there comes new members, we raise issues, others left, others we survive, we come back, others they want to start back again, we never reach anything. But we need to have some sort of a tracking record, of like a tracking mechanism system. The previous ones, this one they wanted to achieve, did it ever happen? It mustn't just like be a lip service. I think capacity of women should be an issue. All departments we need to make sure that it's really there. I'm happy that we need also to involve the finance people about the ring fencing of projects that affect women. There must really be ring fence, because otherwise we'll remain being just a talk shop sort of a committee in parliament. But we really have to do that. And Chair, I think something that we need to do. Now we have to be seen going outside, doing an oversight. We're in Cape Town, all of us. We can come one Monday, women were seen doing oversight, going to police station. Because many of our women, at the very same police station, they don't have they are not even assisted correctly, they withdraw charges, and at the end of the day, they've been killed by their loved ones. To be killed by a loved one, Chair, I was telling to my colleague, some of us were the victim of, my mother died, was killed by the boyfriend when I was 7 years of age. It's not a statistic. It's something that has happened. And the sad thing is, when you get into your house every night, you say, thanks God I've made it. You lock yourself, you said, you know what, the enemies are not there. But it's so sad that you're going to be killed by a person that you thought that I'm going to be safe in the hands of this person. I'm going to be sleeping on the chest of this guy who's going to protect me. Only to find that it's a person who's going to kill you. So I think we have to do that. How many shelters of services that are here? I was at social development. We are part of the social development committees and whatever. But there was a study that was done by UCT. They were saying that 52% of social services is rendered by the NGOs on behalf of government. But we as members of parliament, we are not making sure that government bring money to those NGOs that are helping us. So we have to be seen going, doing oversight to those shelters. Let's not stop coming up with legislation is enough. We have to be seen driving this. These marches that are organized by the country, we as parliament, we can come as a steering committee, organize our own march to be seen that we are standing with women, not only on the platform of making speeches in parliament. We have to be seen there. This morning, we should have been part of those students who are outside to say we are in solidarity with you, we are fighting with you, your concern is our concern. But I like the spirit of what we are doing now, Chair, but going forward, we need to be part of planning how we want this committee to be seen, because we cannot allow men really to dictate to us. Look in the morning when you come from the gate, the police, the treatment sometimes to our other members. And it's even worse, Chair, there are men in this parliament who
who doesn't even pay the maintenance, but we are sitting with them. So what is people are saying, but we are double standard. You always look outside. We have to start fighting, fixing things right in Parliament. We are privileged to be here, so let's use the opportunity. And I'm happy that we are not going to politicize this committee. We must just see as women who want change. And other women will follow when they see us as members of Parliament. We are at the forefront of fighting what is facing us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Majake, you are welcome. Honorable Suminya, you want to say something?
But if gender committee, for instance, you cannot
women's parliament, which does not give the gender commission a platform to account. So that's what they must account to women. For the Raila, the entire, on issues. And even if we were then, because, you know, day by day we lose track of what the thought that has had for us. Because, you know, we're taking over the structure of those people who understood what they were talking. At what stage are we able to say, now we're forced to report and look how we have managed to implement gender effective for gender equality for equality? No, no. Gender what? So when do we talk and say how to the progress ourselves? And then start to say, this is best plan, because these are the gaps that we're starting to find, and build up all those things. Now we're being run by the emotions and the situation as it happens in the society. But women have put up the charter which says, in police, that is what we want to see happen. So, besides the budget, even if you put the budget, if those people who are interacting with women, as you are saying, they have not been transformed, the budget is not going to help them. So, and we don't even have a good thing in this parliament, but here we are building a country. You know, the good thing that I've seen in one commission on planning, they were saying, look, here we're talking about everything, all about increasing economy, creating jobs, eradicating poverty, and narrow the gap of inequality. But when we ask the department, if they come to us, this program that you are implementing, does it take those important things that are raised in the industry? Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that every we agree, what we must agree with is, also the commission here, what is it that they can do, because they want to have more slots than us. We have one job per month, and women would want to know what we do about their life as members of parliament. But that committee must be able to help us to say the gender machinery as implemented in South Africa, does it help us? It doesn't help us. Why are we not together with them? They must bring it to us and say, we have ourselves, the machinery is not working. The gender commission is not being funded. The commissioners, we keep them lift if they have to do the work. I remember I went to them in Opal. So we had to give them lift for them to be in all the areas that we've been moving around. So is it effective? Is it helping other women? And what is it that is needed for it to be effective? Well, that is very much important. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sumeya. Honorable Majaki. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry I came late. I hope you did manage to get my apology. I do agree with Honorable Sumeya in terms of the importance of really resuscitating the national gender machinery. Because the death of the national gender machinery is what actually puts us here, where we are now, where we find that it feels like the cause of women in South Africa has lost direction. Because it was the center point of actually holding the struggles of women at all levels. Because for now, like Honorable Semenya is saying, we actually end up responding to situations. Today you are saying rape, it's murder, it's this. We run after that. And we begin even to make it an agenda for women. Well, in actual fact, an agenda for women should be in totality about advancement of the status of women within society. We must be concerned about development of women at all levels. beginning with the girl child, looking at women and the economy, women and education, skilling up women, because we talk about equal opportunities of men and women, but what we realize now is that it's only men who have actually managed to advance. When you talk about black people in terms of BEE, it's men who have actually managed to get the gains, because women cannot actually go and compete equally if they are not ready. So part of it is skilling women. We're supposed to actually worry. Now we talk about amendment of Section 25. To what extent is this land that we're talking about going to be in the hands of women? So the point I'm trying to make, and I'm making just examples, because women must be there in the economy, they must own economy, they must manage to share in the wealth of the country, they must own property. So the point I'm actually making is that let's actually understand the role of caucus, women's caucus in parliament, and how we are actually going to make parliament oversight to work for women who actually expect from us who are sitting in parliament to make things to happen for them. So ourselves, as we are here in parliament, and this is where oversight work of whatever is going on in the country is done. What is our role in terms of that? And once we can actually craft that role as to how we make even the portfolio committees to be accountable to us in terms of what they are doing within their committees to ensure that the agenda for women is actually managed to materialize. Every committee has got a responsibility of ensuring that the struggles of women or women empowerment or advancement of the status of women is actually properly and nicely packaged in their annual performance plans. And if that does not happen, we're wasting time. So our role is to actually have that oversight of ensuring that every committee in its plans, they actually consider the situation of women, but also at the same time, for it not to be just lip service, we need to have a mechanism of actually recommending to them this is how we want it to be packaged. Because half the time, things are done and you hear that, no, women are included, it's okay. But when you actually look at it and what is being offered, it's almost nothing. So we need to actually have a way of saying, with the APPs, this is the framework that we want to have included in your APP to ensure that globally, in terms of the operations of this department, in terms of the budget that we're going to be passing in Parliament on this department, this is what will be happening for women, and this is how much it costs. Once we can be in the position to do that, it might actually help to resuscitate the cause of women, which is like almost dead. But then, at the same time, like Honorable Semenya says, without the national gender machinery, we're not going to manage to do this. Because once it gets out of our hands, it goes back to the department. You must have a gender focal point. That is there that we engage with at national gender machinery. Because the gender focal point will go, and they come and tell us, no, in my department when I talk, they don't listen to me. We wait for them to come to Parliament, and we will question that. So basically, this that I'm actually talking about, in terms of how we envisage the role of caucus being in Parliament, should actually have a resuscitated national gender machinery. But I'm not saying let's wait until we are quite sure that the national gender machinery has been resuscitated before we begin work. We will begin to work even if the machinery is not resuscitated yet, towards resuscitation of the machinery, so that we don't actually find that there is gap in terms of us not being in a position to do anything. The role of the ministry also is very difficult. Me, I normally say, you know, right at the beginning, we had said maybe not the ministry, that's why we had the OSW. And the biggest fear was for the ministry to be there, but to find that the ministry is marginalized. If you look at the budget of the ministry, there's nothing that the ministry can actually do that is meaningful with the kind of budget that they have. And remember, that budget is about 150 million rands, and they're sharing it with the CGE. How, for heaven's sake, are we going to actually manage to move the agenda for women in South Africa? And remember, the agenda for women is cross-cutting. Every sphere of life has got to do with issues of women. Anything that you think of, you need to be in the position to put the magnifying glass and look at the issues of women in relation to that. So with gender cross-cutting like that,
We are giving 150,000 for the ministry, for the Commission on Gender Equality to go and actually implement. And that's why it's becoming more and more difficult, because the ministry's responsibility is supposed to be mainstreaming of gender. If you take what was the mandate of the Office of the Status of Women, the Office of the Status of Women had the responsibility of ensuring that they mainstream issues of gender across the government departments with the Chapter 9 institution, the Commission on Gender Equality, having it been established to monitor if the mainstreaming is actually taking place. So I'm not sure even the CGE itself, with the capacity that they've got now, as to how far they are managing to actually do the general, because I'm not, CGE, by the way, is not only monitoring what is happening in government departments, supposed to do to monitor what is happening generally in South Africa, even in business, so that we are sure that even business of South Africa or the private sector of South Africa is actually responsive to what are the requirements in terms of advancement of the status of women. But where we begin is to have a strong national gender missionary. And now as we are discussing, we must decide as to who convenes the national gender missionary. Previously we had the office of the, what did you used to call it, Honorable Smina, the parliamentary committee that was joint on improvement of the status, the quality of life and the status of women. We must decide, because now if I look at parliament and parliament system, that committee is the women's committee. Do we want them to be conveners of this committee? Or we suggest we become co-conveners with caucus, so that, and also CGE becomes almost like a partner, so that when we begin the process, then we move in unison, because you don't want competition. We want women to work together, and that's the message also that we need to begin to spread. I've seen women in parliament harassing each other, calling each other names. And you realize, you know, we have lost it. Because women across race, across political party lines, must actually come to a situation where they regard themselves as women. And they become serious about the cause of women, protection of women. If you're raped, if you're killed by a husband, it doesn't matter whether you're a Gata or DA or ANC, it will happen to you. I'm just making an example of one of the areas of lives of women. But what is important is for us to actually have a platform like the NGM that's going to actually also include political parties across to be sure. And then remember, the National Gender Missionary must also have civil society, because we can't do it on our own as government. If we don't have civil society that is vibrant, that is active, that understands the dynamics, we're going to find that we don't actually manage to have the necessary mileage. So civil society these days, previously we had so many organizations that were about activism around issues of women. Those organs of civil society, look like my dad, or it's just a few of them are still alive. Through the National Gender Missionary, we must resuscitate them. Because there are certain things that will become difficult for us to deal with. But it will be, you know, in terms of conflict of interest. But it will be easier for civil society to deal with them on our behalf when they want to make a lot of noise. It's not going to be us who make a lot of noise. It must be them that makes a lot of noise, who will be part of the National Gender Missionary with us. But what is important is how we position ourselves here in Parliament. That's what we need to get right. And my take is that we need to actually have that oversight role on Parliament oversight. Because Parliament is doing oversight on what government is doing. Ourselves with oversight on that, putting the lens on what they are doing as to whether it's responsive to the agenda for women.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution. But honorable members,
know, when you are deliberating, it's like the issues that you were bringing forth today makes me to think that it need us to have enough time and we plan, or to come up with a plan that is going to guide us. With this 30 minutes or an hour time, we can't. Because we need to plan properly. And to me, our planning must come out from having researched some of these departments or stakeholders that are also taking part on issues of women or gender machinery. So if we are to meet only in 30 minutes or an hour's time, I don't think we'll make it. I think we need to have time where we'll be meeting, and again, where the committee, maybe all members of the steering committee will be in, for us to come up with that concrete plan that we think is going to guide us going forward. And that day needs to be looked at, or to ask for the day, maybe before we go for recess, if it will be possible. If not, meaning immediately after coming back from recess in September, we look for that time. It's like we do have a lot of things. Otherwise, we'll keep on meeting, deliberating on issues, and not being implemented. Because the issue here is implementation. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Sumia. I think we managed to write to the programming for September, I think it's on the 19th, where
the caucus will be sitting. I think now I get a sense of clarity that the planning, it needs the caucus, not the steering committee. I think I'm clarified on that. But yes, we did secure the sitting of the caucus on the 19th of September. It's there already. What we need to do now is to write again for... Come again. For the 19th of September. We're going for recess. So it's the last because of the of recess. But with October and November, we're suggesting the 30th of October and then the 26th of November for the next court or term. Meaning that on the 19th of September, that's where we're going to come up with a plan. That's what we are agreeing upon here. The 19th, in a caucus. No, thanks, Honorable Majek. I think what I was trying to explain before is to say, if it's a steering committee, we can come up with something that when we go to the caucus, we are having something to guide them to say, as steering committee, we propose that our plan should look like. Then they must come up with whatever they will think it will assist in that program. But I was suggesting that the steering committee also shouldn't sit during lunchtime. Because like now, we are from other committees. We are here. We also tired. We want to have time to eat. You are eating, you are chairing the meeting, and you are, you know, people out there, they just look at you and say, why is this person chairing the meeting while eating? Meanwhile, you don't have that luxury of time to go and sit in your own corner and eat, then come back to the meeting. That's what I was trying to check, whether we can find some time for the steering committee to sit and come up with the program that will present into the broader caucus. Thanks.
We record that time, even the time for the steering committee. Then we know that on Thursday, we start with the steering committee and go into the last part. Yeah. Okay, the last day of the month. Yes.
Meaning we need to write for them, for the 19th, to pay ceremony instead of taking our provincial property.
And the second feature, the guidance from the professor. We need to work it because of time again. Because that training with my mother, department. So we ask you not even a day, half a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll suggest that we should ask our contact advisor and say, develop questionnaire on the things that we're speaking about with our challenges and give it to women and respond in writing. In that meeting, if you can give them time frame, think that by this way you are supposed to have submitted your issue, then that will then be your guide to that to program. Then you will then ask them. This is what the majority of you is saying that you agree. You know, it will simplify it. So that's my proposal.
Oh, thank you very much. The weakness.
What's the question? One pager.
No, thanks. Tembakazi.
If I may, I would like to make an input in relation to the 19th September Multiple Women's Caucus. If members remember correctly, the steering committee has set and agreed on focus areas for the sixth Multiple Women's Caucus. But those suggested focus areas haven't been brought to the broader caucus. So the suggestion was that on the 19th, we bring the suggested focus areas to the broader caucus so they can approve and adopt.
Tembakazi, now I understand it like Honorable Sumia said, to say we don't have to plan for them. For the multi-party to be alive, I think it must be them that come up with something in order to own. We having those ones, maybe they will also bring them in. So we check those that we're having them, we're proposing, and those that they will bring in. I don't know, that is my understanding. Honorable Smith. Can we look at the next one? The overview.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, the next presentation is about the focus areas that we just talked about. And the reason we're having this session is that when the steering committee, let me sit here. Honorable members, the reason we are having this session is that when the steering committee met to suggest focus areas, there were concerns that there might be clash of mandates between the PC on women as well as the multi-party women's caucuses. Let me start with the areas that were suggested by the steering committee. The first one is the decriminalization of sex work. The one is women in politics. With women in politics, it's not only about... saying, honorable members, the suggested focus areas for the 6 multi-party women's caucus that were put forward by the steering committee is the decriminalization of sex work, the women in politics. With the women in politics, it was agreed that it's not gonna only be focusing on increasing women participating and represented in politics, but also about ensuring that current women members are capacitated and supported. It was also about implementation of mentoring young women to be interested in politics. And the other focus area that was agreed upon is gender-based violence and femicide. Then the Sanitary Dignity Project, the National Gender Missionary Project, the Gender Responsive Budgeting Project, Women and Health, as well as building relations with stakeholders. Let me talk a bit about the building relations with stakeholders. On the presentation that is before members, the building, there is a table that outlines focus areas and activities, but the building of relations is not there because it's put in as the focus area, because if we're dealing with gender-based violence, the multi-partners caucus will build relations with civil society and other stakeholders in relation to that focus area. The areas of that were of concern was, okay, during the identification of focus areas, there were concerns about duplication of activities between the multi-partner women's caucus and PC on women. The reason for concern was that some of the focus areas were key performance areas of the Department of Women, and as such, they are subject to oversight by PC on women. Those areas include the Sanitary Dignity Project, the Gender Responsive Budgeting, and the National Gender Marginal. So it was decided there's a need to sit down as the steering to decide whether the multi-partners caucus continue with the Sanitary Dignity Project, the Gender Marginal, or the Gender Responsive Budgeting. Let me start with the issue of the Sanitary Dignity Project and provide a bit of a background. The issue of provision of sanitary products to indigenous women and girls is an executive undertaking by President Zuma in his 2011 State of the Nation address, but it was never implemented. It was only brought back when the previous multi-partner caucus put a spotlight on it. It was after engagement with National Treasury and Department of Women that a national task team was established to look into the issue of sanitary dignity. Then the Department of Women then undertook to develop a sanitary dignity framework. But now, according to their current strategic plan, the sanitary dignity framework is still not yet finalized. And on their website, they have published a sanitary dignity framework for input, meaning they're still consulting on the sanitary dignity framework. Let me come to the issue of gender responsive budgeting. The department had also planned to develop a budget, a gender responsive budgeting and planning framework. According to my assessment, they have managed to develop that framework, because currently in their APP, they're talking about developing guidelines on gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, and evaluation. And if we look at the activities that are put forward for the multi-partner women's caucus, maybe the multi-partner women's caucus can start by asking for a briefing about the developed gender framework. And one of the activities of the multi-partner women's caucus, which I don't believe clashes with the mandate of the PC, is empowerment of current women on each gender responsive budget, so that wherever they are placed in their committees, they think along the lines of gender responsive and planning. On the issue of the National Gender Missionary, the previous multi-partners caucus engaged with the Department of Women, and the Department of Women informed the caucus that they were undertaking a process of diagnosing the National Gender Missionary in order to identify the challenges within the National Gender Missionary. That project was expected to be finalized by March 2019. In this financial year, they're not mentioning this diagnostic review. I am assuming maybe they've concluded it. Then the multi-part women's caucus can start on focusing on engaging on those identified challenges by the National Gender Missioner. Lastly, Chair, as far as I know, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities has not yet tabled an updated strategic plan that includes the additional mandates, youth and persons with disabilities, as well as include current government priorities. Because the strategic plan that I'm talking about was developed last term. So I think they are in the process of updating their strategic plan to include additional mandates as well as the current government priorities. So there is no indication which of our focus areas will form part of their key performance areas. So, in conclusion, Chair, I believe this multi-department caucus, if the broader caucus agree, they can continue with the suggested focus areas, even if they fall as key performance areas of the department as such, subject to peace. I mean, because we, as the multi-women's broker class, we can change the activity so that we don't duplicate what the PC on women is doing. For example, a point to emphasize that these activities that are outlined in the document before members are subject to change. For example, the caucus might do a study tour in Rwanda and find something interesting that they would like to pursue, which is not part of the current activities. So the activities are not cast in stone. So we can continue with the suggested focus areas, but we can change the activities so that we don't duplicate what the PC on women is doing. Let me stop the chair.
Oh, thank you very much for the presentation, or reminding us of the focus area that we identified, that were identified before. Honorable Suminya, then you will follow Honorable Majaki.
But I want to raise that you are late to the sanitary challenge. Our best response to this. I think those issues are fine, but develop a question to
get more information around this issue. And the issue of the, I don't know what you know, the senior national, because I think that this line that the department and in the minister, because they've drawn the line that that department is not doing anything. And you are right that there was a diagnosis meeting and the follow up one that has attended. There was one, the first one, which was attended, and said I attended the second one, which they were giving the report, what they find, what is the problem. And women discussed around this issue. And they were supposed to have a final report. But I'm just saying, this is what this is, the weakness of women. Nasali Loroma, I really struggle with Almasu Popular to bear for. When you go into the department where there was a women minister, I get information from that person. You know, can I have a problem with that? The new minister is starting his own thing. He's starting his own thing. I don't think he's really using that close report. This is a weakness that you must have. You look at women, or look at one another, you can be done by many parts. But these women, the failure of one woman, that's what I was told. I just don't let me. The failure of one woman is the failure of all women. That's why today, even when we do, we can be able to do the woman in quarter, no mass. Women will keep quiet, we can do the family issue. And then the second, the other we can do the new issue. Quiet, women are quiet. Because the first thing is you just divide and rule for women. And women must be alive to that. So we must fight the divide and rule, both in our party, in the society, wherever we are, we can see divide and rule. That's the only system that survives. The system of patriarchy to survive. So I think we must be alive. I think that's the document of this. That's what was agreed on. But that is, you know, people will say, here, we're not going to talk to her, they will say, well, until I clarify it, the way it comes from. But I think we must make them to understand that there is no competition, there must never be a competition of women. Women rather work together to achieve a better goal together. Last thing, that's what we had to do for the first I even yesterday I asked the question, how is this going to work? Maybe I told you maybe that you can say that before the steering committee take a decision, when you need a decision, you must include those members of the DAC. So that I don't understand that process. So I thought you're going to investigate and tell us because we cannot be a substructure of something else. Yeah. If we don't have to exist, we've got a lot of things to do ourselves. We cannot do it. I know the steering committee reporting to women of parliament, not to something else. So if it continues like that, I'll not be part of the steering committee. I'll regret, honestly. That, so I wanted you to get clarity for that thing. I don't understand. I'll not be part of it. Because you were there, you were there.
Oh.
But we are never to ACC, the rules to do. What is the relationship between the people of ACC and us electing the steering committee?
I don't know.
The steering committee is used to the decision. Then get those other members and make decisions. So, an apple, a tool, a barrel, the planning meeting, or what is it? So, I think that we need to clarify that because if was the, somebody has done a mistake, because in my own view, somebody has done a mistake, he wants to use that to justify his mistake, and he wants to use that to be useless in the process of performing all that. So, if there is acknowledgement of that mistake, that you cannot put the. I think that's a lot of fun.
Honorable Majaki wanted to say something.
On the
are you still speaking, Chair?
No, I wanted to say the issue of those that have been ATC'd. I think we make follow up, but to me, Honorable Sumenya, as you said, that that thing, it doesn't have a meaning. I don't know how that came out, because when we wanted to get clarity, we didn't. We failed to get clarity. But now, since we are saying that we must also follow up in order to get clarity on it as to what is it that is going to happen going forward, we'll do that. Honorable Majek.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I do think that we need to really follow it up. Seriously so. And if we need to make noise about it, we must make noise about it, because somebody is manipulating processes that have got to do with the structure. And who knows, we are where we are, because at various points, people actually manipulate processes, and it actually ends up derailing the agenda for women. This one, we must fight. We want to know who ATC these names. And as they were getting to the office that's responsible for ATC, who sent the names? And how were they actually authenticated? Because I imagine Parliament just doesn't ATC anything. There must be a process that is authentic, that is then processed. And for now, if we leave those names and say, okay, we don't care about them, we continue with our business, to tell you the honest fact, those are the legitimate members of this committee. Because they're ATC'd. Those are the names that Parliament knows as members of the hearing committee, not the ones that we elected. So we have to actually look into the matter and get it corrected. I'm sure even the ATC process has got the way of reversing it. Unless they want us to take it to court so that we can go reverse it in court. So that there's a court order that says you go and correct it, which is not necessary. Yeah, but that is not necessary. Because somebody has made a mistake, like you're saying, Honorable Sminya. That person that has made a mistake must stop actually coming with explanations that don't make sense. And go and correct the wrong thing that has happened. Because where are those people? Now we're busy here. We're even talking about planning. Where are they? And they're supposed to be part of the... In actual fact, they're not part of the decision-making process. We shouldn't make decisions outside them. You know, it's so weird. So we're going to have to correct it. I don't know, did you, as the office of the Women's Caucus, get communication on ATC? How did you get to know about these names? That's where you can begin. Who sent you communication and said these are the names? Where did you get the communication from?
Thank you.
Okay, I will. Can I proceed with other points? Thanks for the explanation, but we need to make a follow-up because we want to reverse those names that are not legitimate. There must be a process that is entered into for reversal of the names that are 80 seat. Okay. The one thing that is important is that we have a legacy report. When we do our planning, we will take note of what is in the legacy report. I'm saying this because I don't want us to find that we are stuck with the other committee work to the extent that we can't bring in new ideas. We need to consider what they did, but at the same time, we need to open our minds to what the steering committee today now is saying, so that it shouldn't stifle our business. Is that okay? Some of these focus areas are from the legacy report. Yes, that's why I'm saying when we do our planning, we will note what is in the legacy report, avoiding a situation where almost it's like we just need to follow what you had, which is in the legacy report. Because, for example, with sanitary towels, like Honorable Sminya is actually saying, the process has actually advanced. So you can't fix it when it's not broken. If the process is moving nicely, leave it. Put your energy somewhere. You can't keep on now running after it, because our responsibility is to action, to make things to happen. And when they are happening, then we will be happy and we'll focus on other areas. You are worried about duplication with the ministry, which is something that we will look at. But if you have noted what I said earlier, I said because in Parliament, the committees of Parliament have got the responsibility of oversight. So ourselves will oversight the oversight of Parliament in terms of issues of women. So in that way, we're not going to be duplicating with the ministry, that we are agreeing that if they take the mandate that was of the Office of the Status of Women, it means their responsibility is to get into government departments, directly into government departments. Our work is here in Parliament, and actually looking at the machinery of Parliament and looking at how to interrogate the machinery in a way that will actually help to push the agenda for women, which is going to flow into what the departments are actually doing. And somewhere we're going to converge with what the department is doing in terms of mainstreaming of gender. We're going to converge with what the Commission on Gender Equality is doing in terms of monitoring gender transformation in South Africa. And indeed, I do agree with you, Honorable Sminya, when you're saying sometimes you complain about the budget, but we must call the ministry and the CGE so that they talk to us about their own situation. Because, you know, somebody just said to me the other day, the ministry didn't actually spend all the money, the little money that they've got, the money that is left. You see, and under those circumstances, when you start wanting to raise your voice and you want to talk on their behalf to say the money is not enough, but find that the little money that's given is not spent, it becomes a challenge. But let them come talk to us so that we understand what is the problem, why aren't you using the money? And who knows, maybe they're not actually implementing their mandate. Because with this mandate that's cross-cutting, if they were mainstreaming, I'm sure they would be running out of money. So indeed, we need to actually talk to them and be sure that whatever we will want to actually talk on their behalf, themselves have actually clearly articulated it to us. Also, one thing that is important as we look at resuscitation of the national gender machinery is what is our role in terms of the country report, whether they go to SADC, AU, or United Nations. Because we have reports that leave the shores of South Africa without them coming via COCAS. COCAS must be aware of what's written in those reports. So that when we, there's certain things that we're not happy with, or people writing things that don't exist, ourselves with this COCAS, we actually indicate that these things don't exist. Please make them to happen so that everybody can be happy, including us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You know, simply because of those things that you mentioned now are the things that are going to make you to stay in this caucus. The issue of you honorable members leaving the caucus, I don't think it will work, because we need people who have knowledge of the caucus. Yes. We need to compliment one another going forward. I wasn't aware of what we're saying, but I can see that there is a need of having those reports if they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much. Can we take conscious of time? It's 7 minutes to three. No, this one I cannot.
How the struggle in the system. So
that we are able to push and start to make noise. Because one of the things to change the system is to make noise about it.
Honorable Majak, a last bite.
Last bite is to say maybe we need to make them part of the machinery, because we said there's going to be room for civil society. So we must identify all of these groupings of women so that they send their representative to the national gender machinery. And through them, then we'll actually get to know what are their challenges. And I think it's a point also that relates what Mayor Patricia earlier said too.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's call it a day.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.